We're going to be in the book of John this morning, the gospel according to John chapter 2, John chapter 2. Thank God for this precious book,
Amen.
The book of God, the Holy Bible. It sets itself, it is different from every other book because it's God's Word, amen? And He is the author of the book, therefore it makes it holy because He is holy. It's completely set apart from any other book in the world, but not just that, it is a miracle-working book. It is a miracle-work, it has changed your life. If you're saved this morning, it's because you heard the gospel, you heard the words of the Lord, and it changed your life. It changed mine through the power of this precious book. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Amen. I was talking to the bus workers this morning. They come in early and we have some time of scripture and singing and maybe even a cup of coffee, you know, with one eye open. But I was telling them this morning, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame, and He did it all, amen, with looking unto the joy that was set before Him. The joy that was set before Him. And I told the bus workers this morning, I said, what motivated Jesus, one of the biggest things that got Jesus through that cross, enduring means He didn't enjoy it. He didn't enjoy the cross, He endured it. He didn't have a smile on His face. He endured the pain, the suffering, and the agony, but it was for the joy that was set before Him. It was for the joy that He knew was coming later. And that joy motivated Him. And that's what I was trying to get them to see this morning. Those kids in there, amen, are part of God's plan for getting saved and serving the Lord, and children, even little children. But it's not always joyful to have them in our Sunday school classes because they're a little bit rowdy. It's not always, you know, fun and excitement to have children try to climb the walls and pull the curtains down. And I mean, that's not laughter, but you know that there's joy set before you, amen. Joy coming later when you love those kids and you endure their behavior.
Amen.
You don't necessarily rejoice in their behavior or even enjoy it, but you endure it because you know, hey, they can get saved.
Amen.
They can get saved, and then their family could get saved, and then, hey, listen, they're at least going to hear the gospel. They're at least going to hear about Jesus Christ, and boy, the joy that was set before Jesus is the same joy, hey, that we can have set before us. So go ye out into the world, amen, go tell the world, preach the gospel to every creature, bring them into the house of God. There's tremendous joy in seeing people get saved, people get baptized, people come to Jesus. Hey, I think there's just joy in knowing, hey, one day I'm going to be in heaven.
Amen.
One day I'm going to be in heaven. Isn't that joy? Amen. I'm saved. I want to serve the Lord because one day. And that joy is a great motivating factor. It should be. In our lives. But understand something. This is not the message today. This is another message. But understand something. The fruit of the Spirit is joy.
Amen.
Not the fruit of the flesh.
Right.
The fruit of the flesh is not joy, sorrow, misery, anguish, agony, amen, sin. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good message, a good thought to have. When you come to church, amen, when you do things for God that maybe you don't enjoy, you're just enduring.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's reality. The Bible says He endured the cross.
Yeah.
But He was doing it with the joy that was set before Him, motivating Him. That's what I'm trying to get you to see this morning. John chapter 2. Let's stand together, and I'll tie that in as we get into the message here. But John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth, notice, his glory. And his disciples believed on him, manifesting God's glory. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to your people. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are working in the nursery, those that are working in children's church, those, Lord God, that are being a servant, Lord God, today. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you fill me, this place, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, fill each one of these listeners, God, with your power to hear what the Spirit has to say, Lord. Help us to have sensitive ears, to hear, to be very careful to hear that still small voice in our hearts. Lord, we need to grow. We need to be better believers, better Christians, and more faithful in our service to you. Lord, help me to be a blessing to you, first of all, to glorify you, Father, and help these people, your servants, this your flock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated this morning. The book of John. The book of John, this book right here, this gospel according to John, is specifically written with the intent of presenting Jesus to the world as God. Presenting Jesus to the world as God. Go back to chapter 1, look in verse 1 of chapter 1, John. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word, that same Word, God, right? If the Word is God, then the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, notice, His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word of God who was in the beginning already there. He was already God with God. He is God, Jesus Christ. And then he was manifest to us in the flesh. And through the flesh, the manifestation, we beheld, the Bible says, his glory. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's the glory of God, if he is indeed God. You understand, right? God sent Jesus Christ into this world to reveal himself through Jesus. You understand what I mean? Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That means he's letting him, revealing him to the world. Now look over in John 14, just a few verses of introduction here. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? This is towards the end of his ministry now. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's Jesus speaking, first person, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? What I'm trying to say to you, John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus made this statement, I and my Father are one. Yeah. I and my Father are one. So I can say then, and there's a lot of other verses I could show you, but for sake of time, we have to understand Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh, and God chose that method for one reason, was to reveal himself to us. Jesus is indeed God. Therefore, now listen, to see Jesus is to see God. Amen. To see Jesus is to see God. Let me say this to you. To know more about Jesus is to know more about God. Amen. Right? And let me say this. To read and understand more about Jesus is to read and understand more about God. Right? Now, to see God, therefore, if I see and understand more about Jesus, I see and understand more about God, I see and understand that I'm going to be more aware of His glory. Amen. I'm going to be more aware of His power. I'm going to be more aware of His almighty strength, the almighty creator, Jehovah God. Therefore, listen to me, if I really would get more of a glimpse, a vision, if you will, of the glory of God, I'm going to be more compelled to give Him glory and honor with my life. Amen. In other words, Jesus causes men and women all over the world, including myself, to bow down and worship Jehovah God Almighty and give Him glory.
Absolutely.
You understand that, right? So it only makes sense then, doesn't it? It only makes sense then that Satan and all of the false teachers of this world would attack and undermine this doctrine. This is what we call the doctrine of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one God existing in three persons. That's all that is. One God existing in three persons, but they're none of them are less God than any other ones. And understand, Jesus Christ is God, revealing God to us so that we might glorify God more than we do. Jesus came so that we might behold the glory of God. Look in chapter 2 where I read there again in verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. Whose glory is that? That's God's glory.
That's right.
Manifested means it came out, it was revealed, it was portrayed or displayed. The glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. Notice what happened in verse 11. His disciples believed on Him. Boy, when the glory of God is manifested, folks get saved. When the glory of God is manifested, folks' lives are changed. When the glory of God is manifested through Jesus Christ, amen, it makes a difference wherever it may be. It makes a difference. Now, I want to say that and say all this. I want to look at this miracle then this morning and see how this particular miracle gave glory to God. And by the way, it still gives glory to God today as we look at it. Number one, I want you to look with me here at the servants. Look in verse 5. The servants. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, they're at a wedding, you understand? They're at a marriage in Cana, and there's the servants there that are not disciples of Christ. Hey, listen to me. They are there serving the wedding. They are there serving the marriage party. They are there serving the people that are having the wedding. They are serving. They're not given any names here in this in the scripture. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're from. We don't know anything about them. We simply know. Listen now. We know they're servants. Okay. And they were at the wedding that day to do one thing. Guess what that was? Serve. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. Amen. Very lucid there. They were at the wedding that day to do one thing, to serve. They didn't wake up that day with any knowledge of what was going to happen.
Right.
They didn't go to that wedding that day. I guarantee you they've been to other weddings. I guarantee you they've served before. They're servants. That's all they've ever done. They were at that wedding that day. They were not planning on something miraculous happening that day. Are you with me? Amen. They were not planning on something out of the ordinary happening that day. They were planning on two people getting married. They were just servants serving. That's all they were. And they were nobody to this world. Amen. People didn't go to that wedding to see those servants. Stay with me now. I'm going to build a case here, and you're going to see something, I believe, if you'll just stay with me. They did not go to that wedding to make a name for themselves. They were just serving. They were nobody to this world. We don't know their names. We don't know how many there were. We don't know if they were men or women. We don't know anything about them. They were just servants. They were going about their day, doing what they always did, doing what they were supposed to do, serving. But listen to me, don't miss this point. Very important point here. They were not serving God. Okay? They were not serving God. Hang on to that for a second. Now, and so in the servants, we don't see any glory of God here. They're just servants. Are you with me? Number two, look with me here now. I'm building the case here. Now, number two, look at the stone water pots in verse 6. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So you've got the servants. Now we're looking over here at the 6 water pots made of, the Bible tells us specifically, they're made of stone. These are water pots, the Bible says, they're used for the purifying of the people, the Jews. This was a Jewish wedding. Purifying just means cleaning, okay? It means they wash their hands. They use this water to wash their clothes. They use this water to wash their face, you know, to bathe. So Brother Benny and I were just talking about that yesterday. He has a water well in his town there in Mexico, and he sells water to people because not everybody has a well. And he delivers that water to them for a fee, and they have a, you know, how many gallons is that, brother? 3,000 gallons of water, and they just use that water because the running water is not always there, and they use that water just for necessities like you use water. They wash their hands, wash their bodies, wash their clothes, etc. Nothing, listen, nothing special about these stone water pots. These were very common for a Jewish household. Are you listening? It says right there in verse 6, after the manner of the purifier. In other words, this was normal. When people came to that wedding that day, they did not say, oh, look, there's 6 water pots of stone. I wonder what those are for. They didn't say that. It was just common. It was ordinary. They didn't say when they saw those servants serving people, they said, oh, look, there's servants serving people. No, they didn't say that. They were just common, ordinary servants. They were common, ordinary water pots made of stone. The Bible says that they were made of stone. They were about, it says 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Anywhere from 18 to 27 gallons, depending on how big they were, okay? Depending, so they're not real big, but they're big enough. But they weren't of great value. They're made of stone. Now, don't miss this. You know what a stone is, right? A stone is primarily what?
A rock.
A rock is primarily what?
Dirt.
Where does it comes from? The earth, doesn't it? It comes from the dirt of the earth. Now, I know it mixes with other chemicals and other minerals and things like that, but what is a stone primarily? Primarily, most from the majority of a stone is nothing more than dirt. Right? Dirt. So I've got servants over here doing nothing out of the ordinary, serving the wedding party like they always do. I've got 6 water pots over here along the wall somewhere, and probably in the kitchen, amen, just bearing water for the servants. They were designed to hold water. That's it. They were there to hold water. The servants were there to serve that water. This was their natural state. It was just stone made into a water pot. No glory of God here. No glory of God here. Just 6 water pots made of stone. Now, I'm going to move on here. Look in verse 7. Stay with me now. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Okay, so I've got the servants, any number of them. I've got the 6 water pots of stone. Then I've got the simple water. The most common liquid on the planet is water. Right? I mean, if I mention water to anybody in the world, they're going to know what it is. It's not some kind of, you know, there may be some drinks that you've drank and that I don't know anything about, but not water. You know what water is. I know what water is. Water is basic. Water is common. Water is found all over this planet. I know there's places like the Sahara and there's and things. I know there's places where there's a great lack of water. But listen, even when nobody lives there, you understand? People live and thrive where there's water. And everybody knows what water, we need water. You understand the human body is about 60% water, give or take. Over half of us is just water. And don't forget this. Water made out of what? Dirt. Okay. Isn't that a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. Stay with me. There's water there today. It's the common drink of mankind. There's nothing spectacular about water. I can't get hardly some people to even drink water because it's too bland and too boring because we Americans are too used to sugar. We're too used to iced tea, amen. I love a glass of sweet tea, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. But listen, I can't live without water.
Amen.
Neither can you.
Amen.
Some people ask me, well, I have headaches all the time. I say, well, do you drink water? Well, no. Hey, man, come on now. It's part of our, if our bodies are 60% water, and our bodies lose that water through different things, different processes, then we need to replenish that, don't we? That's why you start to get headaches and aches, because your body gets dehydrated, but it's water. If I tell you, listen, you need to drink more water, I think the doctor says you need to drink more water, you're not going to ask him, what's that? It's basic. Everybody knows. So we've got very basic things going on here. There's nothing special about water. Water is everywhere. No one lives without water. Water is where people are. Water is often taken for granted, though, isn't it? And very many times underappreciated. So we've got servants doing what they always do. We've got stone water pots. Don't forget the fact that there's 6 of them. Okay, I'll come back to that in a minute. There's six water pots. It's when God says it's six water pots of stone, he didn't specify how many servants there were.
No.
But he did tell us there's six water pots of stone there. Something's going on there. Amen. You understand what I mean? When you read your Bible, don't overlook the things like that. There's six water pots of stone. They're made out of stone. He could have, they could have been made out of something else, but they're made out of stone, and then he says, fill them up with water. So I don't have a whole lot of nothing going on here yet. It's just common stuff everywhere. Stay with me now. Now we're going to start getting somewhere, and this is all going to kind of start coming together here. I've got the servants, the six water pots of stone, the simple water. Then I've got the spoken word. There again, look in verse 7 now. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Who's he talking to?
Servants.
He's talking to the servants. He's telling the servants to fill those six common water pots of stone with water. So we see all three of those things involved. And then all three of those things by themselves are nothing special. All three of those things by themselves don't necessarily bring God any glory. They're just there. But listen, then we mix in the equation, the spoken word of Jesus. Remember I said when I began this message that Jesus is who?
Word.
He is the Word. He is God. Therefore, when Jesus spoke, listen to me now, dearly beloved, when Jesus spoke, he spoke the Word of God.
Right.
He is the Word of God. Therefore, obviously, when the words that came out of his mouth were spoken, they were God's words.
Right.
Now we're starting to see something develop here a little bit, right? The spoken Word of God, the spoken Word of Jesus gets involved. Hey, listen, up to this point, it's very ordinary day. It's a very ordinary, and that's not an ordinary day for that bride and groom. It's a very ordinary Jewish wedding up to this point. But it's just another wedding. It's another group of servants, another set of water pots, simple water. But now the spoken word of Jesus enters the scene. The spoken word of Jesus gets involved in what was completely ordinary otherwise. Are you with me? Let me read to you a verse. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says this. The word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful. So we have something quick, which means alive. Now, the servants were alive, or were they? The six water pots of stone were not alive. The water itself is just, it's just two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. There's no life in any of that yet. Jesus gets involved, and he's speaking the living, almighty, powerful, all-powerful Word of God. Listen to me. Now things are going to start happening. Now things are going to start getting out of ordinary into the extraordinary realm, if you understand what I'm talking about. The Word of God, listen to me, the Word of God is infallible. That means it's without error. That means we don't need to change it. That means we don't need to try to find a different way to say it. We've got it right here in the Word of God. The Word of God is infallible. The Word of God is invariable. It doesn't change. It doesn't need to change. It stays the same. It is God. It is infallible. It is invariable. It is inexorable. I know that's a big word. That means it does not yield. It's unstoppable. Amen. It's unstoppable. It's the Word of God. It is invincible. Amen. It is without, nobody will ever overcome and defeat and destroy this book. It is the Word of God. It is the spoken Word of God. It is the written Word of God. It is the read, the understood, the studied Word of God. It is inevitable. What does that mean? I mean, you can't get around it.
Right.
Oh, so many have tried. But you cannot, you can live your life as if it did not exist, but you know it does. Amen. And listen to me, this is the book that God is going to open up one day at the judgment seat, and he's going to say, okay, let's look at your life. This is the book that God's going to open up one day at the great white throne, and he's going to say, okay, I told you about the gospel, you didn't do anything about it. We cannot avoid, it is inevitable. This book is everywhere. The creation is told us, we are told about the creation, we are told about the conscience, we are told about the consequences of sin, we are told Lord about the sacrifice of the gospel, the Lord Jesus, it's inevitable. This book is life.
Right.
And once you live life for any amount of time on this world, you know about this precious book. The Word of God is incomparable.
Amen.
There's nothing that compares to it. Nothing that compares to it. You can read all you want to all those books. I mean, there's lots of good authors, but they're all human. They're all fallen. They're all sinful. They're all contaminated and corrupt. This is a perfect author. Therefore, it's a perfect book. It's incomparable. Can I say this? It's invaluable. Listen now. You can't put a price on this book. Or you can go out and buy the pages and the ink but you can't put a price on this book. This book is priceless. This book is far above the price of rubies. Amen. This book is priceless. This book is invaluable. There's a book right there of God that has saved my life and my soul. The Bible says your soul is worth more than anything else in this world. Amen. This book is invaluable. It has no price. You can't put a price on it.
Amen.
It's God's Word. Hey, listen to me. It convicts. It convicts your heart when you're not right with God. It converts sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ after it convicts them. Then, listen to me, then it corrects their thinking.
Amen.
Then it corrects their thinking, and then it cleanses their minds and their lives. Amen. This book does all of that. You understand? Amen. It conceives, it conquers, and then it comforts. It conceives ideas and understanding in our mind, and then through that understanding we can conquer sin, amen, and then we have the comfort of knowing, hey, I did it God's way, and it all came through the book of God, the Word of God. God's Word. Now listen, so here we have the spoken Word of God. Every word that Jesus spoke into the Word of God, God's words taken in this story, now listen, just like it did in my life, and just like it will do in your life, God's Word takes the average, the ordinary, the mundane, and the common, and turns it into glorious, exciting, miraculous, superior, and victorious. Did you hear what I just said? God's Word does all of that. The Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
Yeah.
You understand, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the... Look in chapter 1, verse 49 there. In John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the what? The King. Capital K in your King James Bible. Capital K, King of Israel. Not just Israel, dearly beloved, but now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. The word of the King, the word of Jesus Christ, entered into the scenario. The scene changed all of a sudden. He took the ordinary servants. Now listen to me. And he made them extraordinary. Their life was never the same after that day. He took those ordinary servants. He took those ordinary stone water pots and used them to do a miracle. He used that which was made out of dirt. Are you listening to me today? He used that which was made out of dirt, that which was found in every home, that which was very common, nothing unusual about it. It was just dirt. And the spoken word of God entered into the scene and began to use things that were very common and made them very uncommon and very extraordinary. He used ordinary water. He used ordinary water to make it extraordinary. The Word of God, spoken by Jesus Christ, manifesting the glory of God to the disciples that day. The disciples believed upon Him, the Bible says. His disciples believed on Him. Now, I want you to understand something. God's Word still does this today. Still takes ordinary lives. Now, I'm going to go back to these three things I talked about. Number one, the servants. Okay? Before they began doing what Jesus said, they were serving everybody but Jesus. They were there serving the wedding party. They were there serving the person who was putting on the wedding party, who was footing the bill, the person who was paying for that thing. They were there serving the guests. They were there serving, they were working in the kitchen. They were not serving Jesus. Listen to me now. But when the Word of God got in their hearts, the Word of God got in their ears, they were no longer serving the wedding party. They were serving Jesus. You understand? That's what He changed. That's where you were, dearly beloved. That's where I was. I was born serving the devil. I was born serving myself. Are y'all with me today? I was born serving everything but Jesus, and so were you.
Yeah.
I was born serving the world. I was born serving the sins of this old flesh, the lust and the pride. I was born serving the rotten flesh, everything that was wicked and evil. I was there serving it, giving my life to it.
Yeah.
And so were you. But then I began to hear, somebody spoke to me the Word of God.
Amen.
Somebody opened up that book, amen, and spoke to me the Word of God. And the Word of God entered into a servant who was serving everything but Jesus, and it began to change my heart and my life, amen. And then, after God's Word got a hold of my heart, listen to me, I went from serving everything and everybody else to doing what He said.
Amen.
To doing what Jesus said.
Amen.
I'm still a servant. But now I'm serving a different master.
Amen.
I'm still nothing to look at, nothing extraordinary, but I'm serving a different master now. Understand something. The ordinary servants, they were serving everybody but Jesus until they heard the Word of God. Oh, listen to me, dearly beloved. It still has the power today.
Amen.
The Bible.
That's right.
The Word of God. Then the 6 water pots of stone. Remember, I told you they're made out of dirt. This is a picture of your heart. Remember now, I'm just dirt. God said He created us out of the dirt, the earth, the ground, the dirt. Okay? Now, but there's 6 water pots. In the Bible, if you remember, in the book of Revelation, for sake of time, I'm not going to turn over there, but in the book of Revelation, we're going to have an Antichrist. The Bible calls him the beast. Okay, there's the dragon, the devil, then there's the beast, the Antichrist, then there's a false prophet. That's the satanic trinity, just like God has the Holy Trinity, amen? But the dragon, the beast, the dragon is going to empower the beast, and the false prophet is going to preach the beast. Okay? And by the way, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they still work, they work in divine manner. This Trinity, but understand something. The mark of the beast is going to be, if you have an understanding of the Bible, is going to be a 3-digit number.
Right.
1, 2, 3, right? Just 3 digits.
Amen.
What's the first one? 6. What's the second one?
Yes.
What's the third one?
Yes.
See, the Bible tells us that that's the number of what? Man. Man. See, the man-made way of life. Dirt is all I am. I'm man. 6 water pots of stone, it's a picture of the heart of man. Because a heart contains something in it, right? Now, I'm not talking about the literal muscle, you understand. But the water pots, the 6 water pots of stone, it's a picture of a man made out of dirt, but it contains something. Our hearts, listen to me, our hearts at birth are filled with sin. The Bible, John chapter 3, Jesus said, if you want to look over there with me, the next chapter, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, this water now. Chapter 3, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Then he explains to us that water does not mean baptism. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that water birth is your physical birth.
Right.
That water birth is your birth when you were born into the world in flesh. Okay? Jesus says you must be born again. That which is born of water is of the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. That's the spiritual birth. So you must be born again. So you see the picture. These 6 water pots of stone, they were there in their natural state. They were in that home made of dirt. 6 of them, the number of man, containing water. In other words, it's a picture of you and me, our hearts being at birth, born nothing but flesh, nothing but sin, without the new birth, without the new nature, without the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand now? But now enters the Word of God. Now enters the Word of God. And the six water pots of stone are filled up with water like they always have been. Nothing ordinary there, amen? Jesus said, fill them up with what? Now turn back to chapter 2. Turn back to chapter 2 where we were. And he says in verse 8, he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And the Bible, verse 9, the Bible says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. Wine. Now listen to me. Wine is not alcoholic wine like you think. Forget all of that liberal teaching. Jesus did not make a whole bunch of people drunk or drunker. If you think that, you do not know Jesus. That is not the glory of God. That glorifies sin and unrighteousness. That is your carnal mind. That is absolutely false. All this is grape juice. It's very pure grape juice. But it started out water. Understand something. When they poured it into that ruler and everybody else's cup, it was wine. It was pure, perfect, sweet grape juice. Picture. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. See, what's going on here is a miracle where the glory of God is being manifested. Common servants, not doing anything for God, just serving the devil. Common six water pots made of dirt filled with water. Nothing special. But now, amen, enters the spoken word of God. And now, in those water pots, out of those water pots is coming wine. God's word has changed that water in that water pot, that dirt of man and that flesh of man, into the blood of Jesus. It's a picture of the new birth. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of complete conversion from flesh and dirt and mankind to absolute, miraculous, born-again believer. The blood of Jesus now flows through me. My heart is now filled with God and His nature, and Jesus Christ's blood has made it all possible.
Yeah.
It's a blessing to me. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's a fourth thing here. Or maybe it's five. I lost count now. I've got the simple servants. They're serving everything but the Lord. I've got the six water pots, man's heart made of dirt filled with nothing but water, flesh. I've got the spoken word of the Lord enters the scene. But here's, listen to me, here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. I've got number next, five I think it is, submission. Submission to the word of God.
Yeah.
Now go back to verse 6 with me. Go back to verse 6 and we'll be done. Chapter 2, verse 6. And there were set six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now stop right there. Stop right there. That didn't change anything. Stop. No, don't skip ahead. What really began to make this miracle unfold was their obedience.
Yeah.
Their submission. You understand, what Jesus told them to do made no sense. It did not make a lick of sense. And remember, these aren't the disciples. These are just servants serving everything but the Lord. But there was such a power in that word. There was such a power in His words. He said, He simply said, fill the water pots with water. He didn't do it.
No.
He told them to do it.
Yeah.
He spoke the word. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Something moved in their heart to make them want to submit to His word. Had they not submitted to that book, to that word, had they not obeyed His spoken word, nothing would have happened. Isn't that where so many people are at today? You understand, without the Word of God, all I am is a dumb servant serving everything but anybody but Jesus. All I am is a dumb dirt water pot filled with a number of man. By the way, that identifies me with the beast. You understand that, right? That identifies me with the beast in the tribulation. I'm just, by the way, because lost people are going to be his followers. Man without Christ, never been converted, they're going to follow that beast in the book of Revelation. Unconverted, lost, they're going to think he's the Christ. They're going to be deceived. But see, I'm just a dumb servant. All I am is a water pot full of dirt and water. I'm nothing but a man. I'm nothing but unconverted, unregenerate man. It's sin and rebellion against God. The Word of God came into my life, and listen, right then and there I had to make a decision. I'm either going to submit myself to this book or I'm not.
Amen.
And my decision is going to change my life or it's not.
Amen.
Right, come on.
When you got saved, it's only because you submitted to the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God has all the power I read to you. The Word of God is all of that. The Word of God is never going to be changed and never going to be any less than everything that I said it is. But listen to me, it's not going to do you a bit of good if you don't submit to it.
Amen.
It's not going to change. You're not going to get victory. You're not going to see the power. You're not going to see the glory manifested in your life because you won't submit. You see, everything hinged on submission to his word.
Right.
He said, fill those water pots with water. They said, what do you mean, Jesus? We don't need water, we need wine. And that's what you would have said. That's what I would have said. Good thing they didn't say that. What do you mean? I mean, we can find all kinds of excuses, right? God's trying to do the miraculous in our lives. God's trying to change us. God's trying to bring glory to himself and change our hearts. And it always says, well, you know, God, that's not what I need. I need this. You're not giving me what I need. God said, I'm giving you exactly what you need. You just won't submit.
Yeah.
God, you're not doing what I need. Don't you understand? We need wine. We don't need water. Don't you understand? I need money. I don't need Jesus. Don't you understand? I need pleasure. I don't need church. Don't you understand? I need comfort. I don't need Jesus. And you just make all. And that's why nothing's changing in your life.
Yeah.
Because you won't submit to it. He says, do this. And you say, well, no, that's not what I want. I want this. Okay. That's what you're going to get. What, you know what they would have got if they would have not done what Jesus said? They would have got nothing. They would have left that day, the same servants that came in. They would have left that day and those water pots would be nothing, just water pots still. The water would just be water.
Yeah.
Nothing would have changed until they submitted. And listen to me, everything changed.
Yeah.
The servants didn't say, well, you know, Jesus, I've been serving this wedding for a long time. You know, I've been doing this. I think I know a better way to get more wine. Yet, after all, I've been a servant my whole life. I'm sure Jesus would have been real impressed. Whoa, you're right. Maybe we should do it your way. But that's what we do.
Yeah.
Don't you understand, Jesus, you know, I've been in church my whole life. I've read that Bible once or twice. I know what we need to do. I mean, after all, don't you know how old I am? I've lived a long life. I have enough wisdom. I know what we need to do. Are you listening to me? And so nothing's changing in our life. We're not seeing the glory of God. You know why? Because we're not glorifying him by obeying. When you decide to glorify him by obeying and submitting to his word, then you'll see his glory.
Amen.
That's how it works. That's how it works. It's not miraculous until we obey.
Amen.
Your salvation didn't come because of the Word of God. It did, but you had to submit yourself to it.
That's right.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Yes, he will. But you've got to humble yourself and submit to it.
Amen.
Now, it's not just salvation, y'all. It's every other step and phase in your Christian life. Where are you at in your Christian life right now? And if you're not where you think you should be or need to be or want to be, by the way, they wanted wine. They needed wine. They were out of wine. There was a need in their life. Right, listen, there was a need in their life. They were not going to get this with just servants and stones and six water pots and just hearing the Word of God. I heard the Word of God today at church. I heard the Word of God today at church. Okay, the Bible says if we're not doers of the Word, if we're hearers only, we're deceiving ourselves.
That's right.
I'm hearing the Word of God. I'm going to church, but nothing's changing. I'm going to church, but nothing's happening. I'm hearing the Word of God, but I just can't seem to. You know why? Because you're not doing what it says. And when you decide to glorify God by submitting to His Word, if you really believe that Bible is everything that you said amen to, then why aren't you obeying it?
Amen.
When you submit yourself to the power and the glory of God's Word, then you're going to see His glory in your life.
Amen.
And you'll go home a different person. Those servants were still servants, but now they're serving the Lord. They went home a different person. They believed that He was indeed God. They believed it now. This was just the beginning. But the Bible says that His glory was manifest and disciples believed on Him. No one can look at this story and give glory to those servants. No one can look at this story and give glory to six stone water pots. No one can look at this story and give glory to the simple water that they... But when Jesus showed up, amen, and He spoke the words of God, the power of God moved in their hearts and they had to make a decision. I'm going to submit to this Word. And then everything changed in their life. To give God the glory is to obey His Word. And then you'll see His glory in your life. That's how it works. That's the glory of God. His glory was manifested that day. Can I say this? He wants to continue manifesting His glory today. He doesn't have any lack of glory today. There's no lack of power today. He's not all out. It's not run out, amen? He's not run out of power. Maybe it's not manifested to you. Maybe it's not manifested to me like it should be because we're not submitting ourselves to it. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your glory. We thank You for Your power. We thank You, Lord, for loving us, allowing us, Lord, to get involved in Your glory being manifested. Lord, You allowed these servants to get involved. Lord, I thank You that You would allow sinners to get involved in serving You, and submitting to Your Word, and seeing You manifest Your glory in our lives. Lord, that's what we need. That's what America needs, Lord. There's a great want. Not for alcoholic wine, but Lord, there's a great want for the blood of Jesus in the hearts and lives, converting sinners to salvation. There's a great want. There's a great need in our country, in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our own families, Lord, a great need. God, help us to submit. Lord, it didn't make any sense to these servants. They didn't ask a single question. They just did what the Lord told them to do. Father, help us this morning. Search our hearts, Lord. Search us. Know our hearts. Try us, Lord. Know our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us this morning and lead us, Father, in the way everlasting. I pray if there be one here today who's not saved, Lord, that You'd minister, You'd convict, You'd prick their hearts, prick their conscience, Lord. They quit playing games with You and they'd come to Jesus Christ. They'd fall at this altar, fall at Your feet, Lord God, and submit themselves to Your convicting power. And bring, Lord God, glory to Your name. I pray for Your children who are saved here this morning. God, there's battles going on. And Lord, they're trying to do it their way. They're trying to tell You what needs to be done. They're trying to make excuses, Lord God, for why they're not. Lord, help us just to submit to Your Word. Oh God, what a blessed day it would be. What a blessed day it is, Lord God, when we submit to Your power and Your glory and Your authority and You manifest Your glory to us, Lord. Bless your people. Bless this invitation, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet. The piano is going to play softly this morning. The altars are open. Listen, God spoke to your heart. Listen, He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to tell you what needs to be done. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. You need to submit to it as she plays softly. The altars are open this morning. Where you at this morning? Is God moving in your heart? Make some changes? God moving in your life? Telling you that some things need to change. Things aren't right. Listen, maybe you don't even hear that voice anymore, but if God's trying to help you, He's trying to do it because He loves you, because He's trying to show forth His glory in your life. I promise you, there's enough glory to go around. There's enough power to go around. As the Lord speaks to your heart today, you do business with God.